May the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. There's a couple of scriptures that I want to read that I referenced Sunday, but there's just something I want to see. I want to proclaim, decree, something God really ministered to me, and that is that in Luke 24, when on the first day of resurrection, on that resurrection Sunday, and Jesus revealed himself to a number of people, but two of the people he revealed himself to were the two men that were followers of Christ. They weren't part of the original 12. They were on the road to Emmaus, and Jesus came along. They didn't recognize him. They were sorrowing, mourning over the fact that Christ had been crucified, stunned that this man talking to them hadn't heard about it. So Jesus began to speak to them through scriptures and reveal himself to them in scripture. And then when they sat down and had breakfast together and over the breaking of bread, they were recognized who he was. And then it says he vanished in their sight. Well, the result of that is these two disciples turned around and went back to Jerusalem because they wanted to give a testimony to the disciples who were hiding away in fear that they had encountered the risen Christ. And they wanted them to know that Jesus was risen. And so when they come back to Jerusalem and they find the disciples that are there, everybody's in the room except for Peter. And the reason I say that is in light of what they said. And when they speak to the disciples, they just say this. This is Luke 24, verse 34, that they were saying, and they said it over and over again, so there was a lot of excitement. The Lord has really risen. So they knew that those words had been spoken, or maybe they even heard some rumors. They said, the Lord has really risen and has appeared to Simon, and they began to share their experience with encountering Jesus. And that's interesting to me, again, that they not only revealed their experience with encountering the risen Christ, they said, and he's appeared to Simon. Now, there's nowhere else in Scripture that we have anything about that encounter. This is the only place in Scripture where it's mentioned that Jesus personally, on the first day of the week, revealed himself as risen from the dead to Peter. Now we know that in Mark 16, when the angels told the women, go back and tell the disciples and Peter, it was important to Jesus that Peter be reaffirmed and be restored in light of his famous failure. But we don't know when this happened, this impersonal encounter, and so we do know that the way they put this is that Peter seems to not be in the room. So I don't know whether Peter was not with them because he was still having a hard time being with them out of his own shame and guilt. I probably would have wanted to be a lot alone. But somewhere alone, Jesus encountered him. Now, the question I asked was this, is that put yourself in Peter's position. Now, Peter was the prince of the apostles. He was the leader of the group. And yet, other than Judas, but Judas was lost, as a real follower, as a believer, his failure was the most famous failure. And still to this day, one of the most famous public failures in church history. And yet he had told everybody that he told Jesus, and he told Jesus in front of the other disciples, when Jesus said that one of you is going to betray me, Peter said, all these guys might betray you, but not me. I'll never betray you. I'll go to jail. I'll even die. And so that was pretty humiliating. The failure itself is terrible, but he had bragged so about his own devotion to Christ. And so imagine yourself in that situation that if you were Peter and Jesus appeared to you personally, what would be the things that would come out of your mouth? And if it were me, and so that we don't have a record of it, but I'm just assuming that the first thing that came out of Peter's mouth was absolute sorrow. Heartfelt, broken apology and sorrow in his confession about failure. And of course, I can only imagine too that Jesus' conversation was one of affirmation and mercy and grace and triumph. There he was, Peter, your failure didn't end it all. I've risen. I conquer even your failure. And I came to pay for things just like what you did, and I conquer. And so it was an amazing thing. It's kind of, if you again read C.S. Lewis's book, it's kind of like Edmund's and Aslan's conversation in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. But when you go to John chapter 21, when there's that final affirmation with Peter that we talked about CTK Sunday, and the conversation after the hauling in of the fish and Peter recognizing the Lord, then after they had breakfast, Jesus speaking to Peter and says, "Do you love me with perfect love?" "No, I love you with imperfect love." "And do you love me more than these with perfect love?" "No." And then finally, "Do you love me with imperfect love?" "Yes, I love you with imperfect love." And so that whole conversation, it's interesting to me that never once in John 21 did Peter's failure ever to come up. Never once did Jesus use Peter's failure to say, "Look, you've blown it before, so be careful, tend my sheep. In light of your failure, understand your weaknesses, now be shepherd my lambs." He just said, Peter, basically said to Peter, like we said Sunday, "Look, the issue has never been about you loving me perfectly, it's always been about me loving you perfectly. And if you love me with imperfect love, that's good. Now go shepherd my sheep." But then he later tells Peter, "Follow me." That's the thing, like, let's go forward, just follow me. Said it twice. And then told him that his death, that one day he would die, and his death, very death, would bring glory to God. Now here's the thing again. Never once in that conversation does Jesus bring up Peter's failure. Never once do we have Peter again going, "God, I'm just so sorry. I mean, I know what you said to me, but I'm just so sorry. I just can't believe I did it." And yet, that's how we live our Christian life all the time. We're always being listening to the enemy. It sounds like a dialogue, I mean, a monologue, but it's actually a dialogue in our head. And we're constantly reconfessing, going back through how our future is impacted by our past and how everything's messed up because I didn't get it right. Oh my, I wish I could just do it over again. The regret. But if you go back and you read 2 Corinthians chapter 7, he talks about true repentance. Once true repentance has happened, regret isn't something you can just carry with you. And I just don't see any conversation about regret. All I see is Jesus wanting to talk to Peter about his future. As if Jesus was saying, "We had that conversation. It's never to be had again. I'm never going to have it with you again, and you need to never have it with me again. And all I want to talk to you about is your future." That's the Lord. When we fail and we come to the throne of grace, we can leave it there and never have to have that conversation again. Because from that point forward, all Jesus is concerned about, and really the only reason, the main reason, he wants us to be honest about our failure is so we can be cleansed and start talking about our future again. He'll even use our failure to promote our future. I mean, Peter had said he'd go to jail and even die, didn't he? And yet he denied Christ three times. And yet Christ in John 21 says, "You're going to die a death that glorifies me. You're the only one that's going to be crucified upside down." It's pretty amazing. That's who Christ is. That's how he is. And it's like, here's the principle. There is no future in your past. And in Christ, there is no past in your future. That's just the ways of God. Hear that again. Having come to him, to the throne of grace, with honest, transparent confession, from that point forward, Jesus is saying to you, "Don't go there again. I'm not going to go there again. We've talked about that. It's done. There is no future in dwelling on your past. And there is no past that's carried into your future." In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.